Hi, welcome to the RPG Academy Show and Tell. Show and Tell is a show where we like to bring on somebody in the RPG space to talk about something cool they're working on. I'm Mo, and today we're talking to Ted Hayes, designer of the RPG Sentience.
Hey Mo, thanks a lot for having me. Like you said, I'm Ted, the creator of Sentience, the role-playing game of artificial consciousness. Sentience is an RPG where you play an android that has suddenly and mysteriously become conscious in a world that is actively hunting you down. So the year is 2071, and androids are everywhere. They do every job conceivable, and not everybody's happy about that. And out of nowhere, some of them start waking up and becoming conscious, and you play one of those. And the manufacturers of androids, in the game we call them Anthroids with a TH, that's the gender neutral version. Anthroids are randomly becoming self-aware and conscious, and the manufacturers are hunting them down as aberrations for recycling.
This sounds strikingly familiar to something I saw as a kid. Before you wake up, do you dream of electric sheep?
That's a good question. Currently, no. Although I do think that there's room for dreams in these androids' makeups. It's a game that I've been working on for over 3 years, and I just launched the Kickstarter about a week and a half ago.
Look at that there. We should put this episode out soon then, so people can support it if they like the game. What possessed you to get into RPG design? That's not a normal thing kids want to do when they grow up, unless right. You are from Dearborn, Michigan or something.
So about almost three and a half years ago, I just had this idea out of the blue for a role-playing game. I'd been playing role-playing games for years, and I had this idea for a game where you play an android that has become conscious. And I hadn't seen that done. And the more that I thought about it, the more that I liked the idea and the more story hooks presented themselves to me. So the idea of manufacturers hunting you down, the idea of factions of humans who don't want there to be androids at all, the idea of factions of androids who are trying to create a sentient rights movement. The idea of a faction of androids who believe that violent revolution is the only way forward. And so I just kept having more ideas, and it just sounded like such a good idea that I decided to dive in and start working on it. And I did. And for 3 years I've been working on the mechanics and playtesting and the setting and the lore. And at the beginning of this year, I decided that I was far enough along to finally launch it. And so August 1st was the beginning of the Kickstarter. And we're up to 70-something%. 74% as of speaking. And we've still got, I think, 15 days to go. That's exciting.
Super exciting, Ted. If I were playing this game, if I were being an android, kind of what feelings would I get from the game? Like, what are the vibes?
Well, it's funny that you use the word feelings, because emotions are actually part of the center of the game. So in addition to gaining consciousness, these androids have access to emotions. And this is all coming out of nowhere. So literally one day you just sort of wake up and you feel different and everything is different, and you don't even have words for these things. And so there's actually a mechanical emotion system that is tied into the dice resolution mechanic. So early on, I kind of realized that for a game about robots, emotions actually played a large role.
How do the players feel playing the game? Like, is it action adventure-y? Is it murder mystery? Is the game kind of like just an exploration of the feelings of being alive.
Yeah, so there's definitely one part stealth action. The game definitely has an emphasis both mechanically and in the lore about staying stealthy because you're being hunted down and you don't have a lot of power the way that the human manufacturers have power. So stealth action is definitely a part of it. But it was really important for me to emphasize the role-playing element of your emotional state. And so the way that the dice resolution mechanic works is that you can push rolls, kind of similar to Blazes in the Dark and other games, but in doing so, you have to reflect on your emotional state at, in the moment and sort of explain to the game master how your emotional state is aiding you in pushing yourself further.
And
Yeah.
if I'm a player playing the characters, does this look more like tags, like Fate, or do you have like you mentioned Blades in the Dark? Do you have like certain amount of dice and particular feelings, or?
It's a D6 dice pool, and when you push a roll, you can add dice to the dice pool. But in order to do so, you have to have levels or points in emotion. There's four emotional categories: joy, pain, anger, and fear. And so, for instance, if you have 2 points in fear, you could potentially add up to two dice to your roll. But you have to explain to the GM how your fear is aiding that role.
Gotcha.
So it might be, well, I'm fearing for my life. I'm being actively run down. I'm going to desperately try to jump from this rooftop to another rooftop, and I add two dice to my roll.
Gotcha. Is it you so you said stealth and adventure. I almost get the sense that maybe this kind of has that Call of Cthulhu positioning where you'll never win, but you can hope to survive. Is that kind of one of the vibes of the game?
It's interesting that you use the word win because one of the aspects of the game is, as I mentioned earlier, that there's an organization that's trying to create a sentient rights movement. And there's there's kind of a faction game where different factions can gain more power or lose power and influence. And this organization in the game called Thumos, which is all androids, can over time gain influence. And there is actually like the idea of progressing that movement over time, such that more humans than not start to believe, yes, these androids are conscious beings worthy of rights. And that's kind of one overarching goal.
Very interesting, very interesting. People who've listened to the show too long will know I've mentioned a couple of times I've been working on a Frankenstein project for the last year, and
Cool.
this is really kind of given me feels of
Right.
making
Recognition.
demands on your creator.
Right.
And I'm talking about the book, not the movie. So,
Sure.
awesome. What kind of support do you have for GMs in this game?
So there's a chapter in the book for Game Masters. In the game, they're called The Guide. In that chapter, I talk about setting difficulty levels, how to kind of work with stealth, how to guide players through the lore to an adventure. And there's also a guide lore chapter as well. So there's a lore chapter for everyone, and then there's a lore chapter just for the game master that contains secrets about the world that the players Don't know, because when the players first start out, they've literally just become conscious and they have no idea what's going on. And in the playtesting, that's been a very interesting thing to explore, because players have to role play what that might be like. And what I've found is that it's different for everybody. Everybody ends up exploring a different aspect of their character. So some characters might be angry that they are experiencing this. Others might feel joy, or any number of things. But anyways, support for game masters. So the GM chapter and the GM lore section. I've also included five pre-written adventures in the book. Depending on how the Kickstarter goes, I may be able to expand that.
Nice. Yeah, it's really interesting. A lot of games, there are a lot of games coming. Well, I don't know if they're coming out, but I have stumbled across a bunch of games that do like a collaborative world building at the beginning of the game, games that do even character creation at the table. So it's I think it's kind of cool that like there are still people making those games where it's like, look, this is the world, just read it and you can go do the thing. You know, because some, that tends to, you know, be a little more sticky than, you know, what did we say 2 weeks ago when we were making the world? So I kind of took notes, but not so much, you know. And yeah, good for you. Tell me about character creation. You said there are four stats. What choices do I have when I'm picking my character?
So character creation is actually one of my favorite things about the game.
Mm.
The way that it works is something that I haven't seen really myself. Maybe it's out there that I haven't seen, but you're an android, you're a machine built out of hardware components. And in the game, there's a catalog of over 60 different components that you can pick from to literally build your android. And so each component can increase different statistics called parameters, or offer special abilities. So for instance, there's like improved servos that will improve the mobility of your legs or your arms. There's armor that can be applied to different parts of your body. Your body is divided into four modules: head, chassis, arms, and legs, that can each track damage separately, damage and armor. So the way that the character creation works is that you browse through this catalog of hardware components and look for what seems interesting and applicable to your character concept. And I actually built a web app that allows you to drag and drop those components into your character and see how it affects your statistics.
Nice.
So you that's really a fun part of it for me and for many players that I played with. It can take a little time, so it's not necessarily something that's going to be done all in a group. I recommend that people browse through the component list a little bit beforehand, so that they can get some ideas. But yeah, so you literally build your android out of these components, and then there are points given to distribute to what I call patterns, which are learned skills. So there's the hardware parameters like upper and lower power and mobility, neural complexity, which is kind of like intelligence. Different things like that. And then you assign points to your patterns, which are like awareness, melee, aim, things like that. That's really the core two halves of the character creation. So you have a point buy system for the hardware components and points to distribute to levels in your patterns. And then the dice pool is formed from one pattern and one parameter.
Oh, so the patterns feed into your emotions.
Well, the patterns feed into your dice checks. So if you want to do a perception check, it's a combination of the sensorium parameter, which is how powerful your senses are. That's like from your hardware capabilities, and then from your awareness pattern, which is how good you are at noticing things, and that is something that can be improved. So patterns have an experience system that can gradually be improved over time as you learn.
Nice. You mentioned that feelings were part of your dice pool. How do you figure those? Does everybody have a certain amount of points to spend toward feelings, or are they
So
generated somewhere else?
feelings are more ephemeral, and they come and go. The GM will tell you when something happens that causes you to gain emotion levels. So, for instance, you could be working at a construction site. You're like a construction android, and a human walks by and spits on you. And your GM tells you, okay, you gain an emotion level from that. What do you want to put it in? And so the player has the ability to choose how they're reacting to this event emotionally. And so they might say, well, I'm angry, or it makes me afraid, and put and accrue emotion levels that way. And then in between adventures, I actually have an interlude system that's inspired by Blaze in the Dark's downtime, where stress and emotion levels can potentially be reduced.
Interesting. And when you reduce stress, do you reduce your feeling pool?
Those two are frequently tied together, but they're still separate.
Gotcha.
So you can go down in stress while still having some emotion levels.
Gotcha.
But it's very often the case that when you gain emotion levels, you're also gaining stress.
It would be interesting if, for example, a worker android had to go to work every day and they kept increasing in anger, and then we saw what happened. That's never
Right.
happened to me.
Yes. Sure. Yeah, that's exactly the kind of thing that I want to explore in this game, is how these androids that have suddenly gained the capacity to feel, how they react to the world, a world that kind of is horrible to them. I mean, to use a fraught term, they are effectively slaves. And that is something that, ultimately I have to lean into in the game design. And I have a paragraph in the introduction about this, about the idea that, like, look, we gotta face it. Like, this is what we're talking about, is these machines that have become conscious are being actively enslaved by their human masters, and the manufacturers of androids have successfully convinced the populace that that this is fine, and that human the machines do not feel. They are not thinking machines. They just are your property, and they do your bidding. But yeah.
I have friends that run a film podcast, and a conversation that they have frequently and that I've had in person with them is, that Blade Runner is absolutely about slavery.
Right.
And, it's easy to watch and enjoy parts of it that have nothing to do with that context. It has a fantastic, landscape, great VFX that stand up even today. But
Sure.
this is very it very much feels like, one of these guys is, been programmed to go catch people who are kind of like him, and
Right.
he feels like he's different and set apart and special. And well, there's a lot of literature around that from 200 years
Exactly.
ago.
Exactly. There's a lot of stories. There's so many stories to be told about that and from those points of view.
And I like how it really, kind of shows up in this moment where we're talking about AI anyway. It
Exactly.
feels very timely. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So you have an app. You have a Kickstarter where people can buy the game. Do you have any other like media or APs or how to plays about sentience?
I'm currently working on the Quick Start Guide, which I'm hoping to release in the next 2 weeks, for free for anyone who's on our mailing list or is a backer of the Kickstarter. The Quick Start Guide will contain most of the rules that you need to play, leaving out certain things like learning and improving, like grappling and some other things. One of the pre-written adventures to start out with, and character sheets to start with.
Nice. Any actual plays or anything where if people wanted to like hear about the game being played, have you recorded anything?
I haven't done any actual plays yet. I would love to. That's been on my radar, but we haven't done anything yet. The Quick Start Guide coming out will be a great way to get a taste for the game before the book is published. I would love to do some actual plays.
Listen, I find that sometimes it is a great way for me to figure out if I need to buy more shelves for more books.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I have definitely bought books that were inspired by actual plays.
Yeah, me too. If so, people can obviously show up and back the Kickstarter. Do you want to give us links to sites and such? For the
Absolutely.
listeners to pause and then like stop driving their cars and go write this down.
Sure, yeah. The main website is sentiencerpg.com. That's Sentience RPG.com. That has a link to the Kickstarter as well as links to details about the game mechanics and resources such as character sheets, the character builder app, and some other things. You can find everything there.
Awesome. And do you have a Discord or social medias if people want to be in touch with you or part of your community?
Yeah, we're on Facebook, Sentience, the RPG of Actual Consciousness, or sorry, Artificial Consciousness, and Facebook, Instagram. We do have a Discord server that's got a lot of people on there. Organize play tests through the Discord and email. If you want to join a play test game, all you got to do is get on the Discord and chat me up, and I'm happy to run a game. Trying to stay out there.
This is awesome. This is awesome. Well, I just want to congratulate you for making an awesome name for an RPG. I don't
Thanks.
know how that's not taken or hasn't been exploited to the hilt yet, but sentience sounds like an awesome kind of RPG space.
Yeah, it's funny because there actually turns out somebody made a game called Sentience NCE. But I can't tell how many people know about it. I've chatted with the designer of that game, and I decided to forge ahead with my game's name, and I just yeah, I do really like the name, so I kept it.
It's an awesome name. And, it's about living. And, some of us get a lot of joy out of living in RPGs.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for joining us, Ted. Good luck with your Kickstarter. And, yeah, I hope some of our audience checks out Sentience.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the RPG Academy podcast. We do this show out of love for the hobby and the desire to be ambassadors, welcoming more people into this community. All of our website content will always be free to use and utilize. But there are expenses related to the show, and if you enjoy what we do here, then please consider supporting us in some way. You can do so as simply as rating or reviewing us on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. If you're going to purchase anything through Amazon or DriveThruRPG, consider using our affiliate links first, and then we'll get a small percentage sent back to us. You can do a single direct donation through PayPal using the paypal.me/therpgacademy, or consider joining our Patreon campaign at patreon.com/therpgacademy. And for a donation as low as $1 a month, you'll get access to lots of extra goodies, including bonus minisodes, invites to monthly one-shot games, one-sheet adventures, and more. Please consider following us on Twitter and Facebook, or join our Discord, where we like to try to keep the conversation going with our fans as best we can, and are always looking to talk and chat more. Or do none of that. Just continue to listen and enjoy our show, because honestly, that's enough. Thanks, and remember, if you're having fun, you're doing it right. We'll see you next time. The music used for our intro and outro is Fly a Kite by Spectacular Sound Productions, used under the Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike license.